sound picture of the popular image of the French Revolution, the guillotine and fanatical crowds. And it's not just a modern image. Look at the zenith of French glory, drawn by the great cartoonist James Gilray. It was published 3 weeks after the execution of citizen Louis Capet, formerly known as Louis XVI of France. You can see, it's all there. The exultant sans-culotte, totally without any form of trousers, who sits fiddling on a lamp bracket from which a bishop and 2 monks have been hanged. On the next lamp bracket is a judge, hanged alongside the sword and the scales of justice. Louis is about to be guillotined beneath a flag proclaiming Vive l'égalité! The dome of a church is ablaze, while over the crucifix to the right of our sans-culotte, the notice King of the Jews has been replaced by Bonsoir, Monsieur. Good night. Good riddance to the monarchy, to the church, to the law. Of course, the French Revolution was much more than this, and, as I hope to show, the British reaction was far more complex than the criticism expressed here by Gilray. The execution of Louis XVI, followed a week later by the French declaration of war on Britain, was the inspiration for Gilray's cartoon. But Gilray's principal political target during the early 1790s was not so much the French Revolution as the British royal family. He mocked the supposed parsimony of King George III and Queen Caroline. He ridiculed the excesses of the Prince of Wales and the adulation heaped upon the Duke of York and his Prussian bride. That said, however, I want to use another Gilray cartoon as a way into other aspects of British reactions to the French Revolution and British politics during the period. Look now at Smelling Out a Rat. This was published at the beginning of December 1790. It shows the Unitarian minister, Dr. Richard Price, surprised at his desk by the giant nose and spectacles of Edmund Burke. Fine. But what does it mean? Price, a low church divine who dabbled in politics and economics, had supported the American colonists in their war of independence. Then, in November 1789, he had preached a sermon on the love of our country. This remembered England's glorious revolution 100 years earlier.
We are met to thank God for that event in this country to which the name of the revolution has been given, and which for more than a century it has been usual for the friends of freedom, and more especially Protestant dissenters, to celebrate with expressions of joy and exultation. By a bloodless victory, the fetters which despotism had been long preparing for us were broken. The rights of the people were asserted, a tyrant expelled, and a sovereign of our own choice appointed in his room.
This glorious revolution had replaced the Catholic King James II with the Protestant William and Mary. 18th century Englishmen insisted it had given them their liberty and destroyed monarchical absolutism. But Price was concerned that the glorious revolution was unfinished.
Though the revolution was a great work, it was by no means a perfect work, and all was not then gained which was necessary to put the kingdom in the secure and complete blessings of liberty. The most important instance of the imperfect state in which the revolution left our constitution is the inequality of our representation. I think, indeed, this defect in our constitution so gross and so palpable as to make it excellent chiefly in form and theory. You should remember that a representation in the legislature of a kingdom is the basis of constitutional liberty in it, and of all legitimate government, and that without it, a government is nothing but an usurpation.
Price urged that the British now had to complete their glorious revolution with parliamentary and various other reforms. The Americans had shown the way with their revolution in 1776, And now the French seemed about to establish a greater degree of freedom for themselves than the British enjoyed. Price was enthused.
Be encouraged, all ye friends of freedom and writers in its defense. The times are auspicious. Your labors have not been in vain. Behold kingdoms admonished by you, starting from sleep, breaking their fetters and claiming justice from their oppressors. Behold the light you have struck out after setting America free, reflected in France, and there kindled into a blaze that lays despotism in ashes and warms and illuminates Europe.
What you have to remember is that while there had been violence at the outset of the revolution, and notably in the storming of the Bastille, events in France had yet to take a radical turn. While some historians still argue about it, there is some justification for saying that radicalism and ferocious political violence only began to be particularly serious in France in 1792, with a war that fostered the lurch into terror and massacre. When Price preached his sermon, there were great hopes for a liberal, constitutional system and monarchy in France, and these hopes were largely shared across the political spectrum in Britain. The loudest odd man out who did not share these hopes was the influential Irish-born Whig statesman Edmund Burke.